The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday. Hey, we're plugging along. And so is Joe Biden, actually. I am Nicole Sandler. We're coming to you live from NicoleSandler.com, the Progressive Voices Network at ProgressiveVoices.com. And by the way, they've got a very cool app that you can download. It's all free and listen to a whole bunch of shows. We're on there live every afternoon, weekday afternoons at 5. We also stream a number of other places. We're on airprogressive.org. We're on Netroots Radio, FYI Nation, Verdant Square Radio, and a number of other stations. Of course, you can always get the program at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. And we have links to a bunch of different streams and everything. So there's lots of different ways to listen. And of course, if you can't listen to the live show, the show is podcast, audio, and the video is archived on YouTube, on Twitter, via Periscope. And I understand Periscope is going away soon. I guess it's just going to be Twitter live streaming, which is better, less confusing. We're on Facebook, and when I can get it going, we're on Twitch. I don't think we're on Twitch today. But anyway, lots of ways to listen. And, you know, the best part about it is this show is not behind a paywall. So if you ever hear an episode you think, you know, your Aunt Judy would appreciate it, maybe the discussion yesterday with David Atkins on the DNC, whatever, you can share it. You can go to NicoleSandler.com. And under Nicole's blog, I think, is where I have all the shows posted. It's under the Nicole Sandler Show. And they're always posted by the date. So it'll be NicoleSandler.com/. And then, for instance, today is December 17th, 2020. It'll be 12-17-20. So you can kind of find those shows like that anyway. Yeah, I see somebody is jealous that I'm wearing a tank top today. I'm wearing a dress, a purple long dress, but it's, you know, sleeveless. I'm in South Florida and it's still warm here. And I feel guilty saying that because so much of the Northeast of the United States is in the middle of a nor'easter and they're getting dumped on with lots of snow. I will tell you, it's supposed to get chilly here tonight. Oh, and I don't even have my phone handy, so I can't tell you. But yeah, you know what happened? We have obviously central air and heat here in the house. Well, our heating system broke. The coils stopped functioning. And to be honest with you, to replace them would be many, 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 many hundreds of dollars that, you know, we can't afford right now. And the thing is, if we lived up north, we'd bite the bullet and figure it out. But, you know, we use the heat, what, maybe 10 times a year? Maybe. So we bought two little space heaters and we moved them back and forth from the bedroom to the bathroom. You know, so far we've only needed it once. So, but I understand this weekend we may need it again. So I don't tell this, I don't say this to be, to rub anything in, but somebody commented on that, you know, I'm sleeveless today. It's Florida. It's one of the only good things about living in Florida is that I don't have to deal with the freezing cold weather in the summer, in the winter. Sorry. But, you know, we do have to deal with humidity, which is nasty. Okay, on to more important things than the weather, although if you're in the Northeast today, you probably don't think there's much more important. Low tonight, 53. Yeah, so it'll be heat necessary tonight, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to rub that in. Lots of stuff going on. Obviously, Donald Trump apparently still digging in his heels. The man is delusional. And reading different accounts, it sounds like somebody has his ear. And I don't know if it's Rudy Giuliani and Jenna, whatever her name, Ellis, who are telling him that, you know, he actually won. He believes his own bullshit. That's the problem with pathological liars. They lie so much that the lies are like ingrained in them, and they believe what they said. Gary in the chat room said, just heard dumb Trump is going to run a show the same time as the inauguration. Yeah, I heard that too, that he was going to do a rally and announce his plans to run in 2024. at the same time as the inauguration. By the way, the inauguration is going to be virtual this year. And I saw a post somewhere, an article, maybe it was in the Washington Post, or I think it was on a friendlier site, news site, that talked about how they're not going to do the inaugural balls and everything. However, God, I wish I would have saved this article because I have a sort of a counter to it. So they're not going to do the big, a big ball, which is a good thing. But they are going to do virtual events, and there are big dollar sponsorships available. Oh, how interesting. All right. So I got to share this with you. My friend Sarah Hickman, who is a wonderful musician based in Austin, Texas. And when I was doing the Monday music sessions a few months back, she did one of them for us, and she's great. Well, she posted this yesterday. I received an email pertaining to the inauguration event for President-elect Biden and VP Harris that includes the cost to attend virtually and with a future date for an in-person event. Here's an excerpt of the ask letter. She writes, "The prices are phenomenally gross," followed by an email response I sent. So here's the letter Sarah got. And because she's a performer, I don't know how she got this, but she did. And it comes from Letitia Garrett de Coye, co-chair Presidential Inaugural Committee. And this excerpt of the letter reads, "Dear friends, the inauguration packages are finally here. Due to the circumstances, inauguration events in January will all be virtual, but there will be an in-person inauguration event at a date to be determined, which these packages let you secure tickets for. The $100,000 package includes two general admission tickets for that future in-person inauguration event." Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, but wait, there's more. "The $250,000 package includes two VIP admission tickets for that future in-person inauguration event and much more. But above and beyond, being a part of this unique celebration of America, Joe and Kamala. Looking forward to celebrating with you, our new president and vice president," signed Letitia Garrett de Caillou. So my friend Sarah Hickman, being Sarah Hickman, and she's a whole lot nicer than I am. I know what my response would have been. "You can take your $250,000 tickets and you know what? You know me by now, right? Let me share with you how somebody with just a big heart answers." She writes, "Dear Ms. Garrett de Coye," or however you say her name, "I'm quite thrilled that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won, and I, along with many, many friends, worked hard to make sure they would be in office for 2021. However, it makes me incredibly sad that the amount of money to attend the virtual and later in-person inauguration is at such an astronomical cost. Every day I'm working hard to help the homeless who are crowding our Austin streets because of the destructive force of COVID. I dedicate a large amount of my earnings to buy food, sleeping bags, masks, hand sanitizer, water, socks, even tents. Whatever I can do to help those suffering so greatly. I wish I had $100,000 to throw at the PIC, but if I did, I think Joe and Kamala would agree it is more important to continue to care for those with so little instead of sending my money for a few seconds to say hello virtually and eventually in person with the president and the VP." Oh, it looks like our video froze. I don't know why, but that's all right, as long as you can still hear me. "I wish President and VP Harris were having very simple ceremony when so many people are losing their jobs, their homes, their families, and their lives. Being as they are public servants, that sort of compassion and humility would speak volumes. I doubt you'll even read or see this letter, but I felt I needed to respond because of the reality of suffering is so severe. Someone needs to point out the waste of monetary resources used for throwing a huge bash when that money could help those that President-elect Biden and VP Harris are promising to put first. Peace be with you." And that's how she signed it, Sarah Hickman. I do not know what is up with the video here. But anyway, apparently she got a receipt. She got a response from this Letitia woman. And she wrote, "Hi, Sarah. I'm sure we'll all be able to view the inauguration with friends and family on TV, which should be pretty much equivalent to viewing it online through the PIC feed. The extra freebies are just the virtual concert and then the future in-person event, which, as we all know, with all inaugurations, are always very high dollar ones, but will not happen at this time, in part due to COVID, but also because, as you say, it does not feel right when America is suffering so much. Your heart is in the right place, and Joe and Kamala would absolutely agree that caring for those in need is more important, as I do too. In fact, that's why the events will be so limited, blah, 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 blah." So just to let you know what's going on there. All right, I got to try to figure out why the video is frozen. So I'll tell you what. While I play with it and try to figure out what the hell's going on, I'm telling you, Windows did an update last week that screwed everything up. And I finally got the one thing that wasn't working fixed, and now something else happens. Ah, best laid plans and all that. All right, so while I try to play with the video here and figure out what's going on, I'm going to play for you a little song. Because, you know, people keep making them. A parody song. This is another one from Don Caron. He's the guy behind the Parody Project, who does such brilliant work. And if you're watching the video and you'll see four guys on there, it took me a while to figure this out because sometimes I'm slow. But it's all Don Caron. He sings all the parts. Oh, now the camera. Now it comes back on. I can't figure this out. Oh, gremlins love me. Anyway, I'll go ahead and play the song anyway. Don Caron and the Parody Project with a little holiday ditty customized for 2020. Take it away, Don.
In the first stain of Trump's mess after election loss, he called for mail-in ballots to be tossed. In the second stain of Trump's mess, he said he won't concede, filing several lawsuits while his willing cultish party all agreed. In the third stain of Trump's mess, Joe Biden once said, because of all the rigging, still with zero frigging evidence provided, just debris of anecdotes inside his head. In the fourth stain of Trump's mess, conspiracy he churned, Dominion switched the votes from Trump over to Biden, ballots they've been hiding, he demands the whole thing to be overturned, demands the whole thing to be overturned. In the fifth stain of Trump's mess, he wanted votes thrown out, toss them in the trash, then name him the winner. Legislative factors pick some new electors, and they slurp it up like water in a drought, up like water in a drought. In the sixth stain of Trump's mess, his legal team decides to hold a quick press conference with no evidence, proclaiming widespread fraud, rehashing crazy theories, lawsuits get dismissed, and the courts imply it's time that they desist. It's time that they desist. In the seventh stain of Trump's mess, Sidney Powell's fired, too crazy for the party, that's some serious crazy, kick out of the house. To act out for white jobs, but okay with blue jobs, how she convolutes. And she goes ahead and files more lawsuits, goes ahead and files more lawsuits. In the eighth stain of Trump's mess, he tries a different tack, calls on the FBI and then the DOJ, wondering why they don't have something more to say. Tremendous cheating here, Kim turns him down, Raffensperger too, and his coat still hangs on every word is true, still hangs on every word is true. In the ninth stain of Trump's mess, Sig Harbor comes and goes, Supreme Court of Nevada rules on the data, appeal to overturn entire state's election, lacking factual findings. Now it's 40 cases that have been dismissed by courts of law, wherein the message simply isn't able to sink in. 10th stain of Trump's mess, Texas made a move, suing Pennsylvania. 18 states joined in to claim it was unjust that Pennsylvania made their voting more robust. Oh, what an awful thing. 100 reps from Congress threw in their support to overturn the vote, and they sent their claim straight to the highest court. In the 11th state of Trump's mess, Trump, please, you'll intervene. In the Texas lawsuit, while in Arizona, another is dismissed for citing baseless claims. The judge is getting pissed, and still no evidence. West Virginia is the final state to certify results. So it's over, but don't try to tell it's over, but don't try to tell it's cold. In the 12th state of Trump's mess, he throws a hissy fit. Supreme Court shuts him down, throws out Texas' case. Doesn't even hear it, slaps him in the face. Cole wants to secede, the party to destroy. I say just have at it, that we would enjoy. Right on schedule, the electors voted, too much crying and lament. And he still thinks he will be the president.
Don Caron and the Parody Project, everyone.
Ah!
Why did that not work? Oh, best laid plans again.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
All right. Yes, Don Caron is incredibly talented. And again, it took me a few videos to get through to realize that that's all four parts is him. So, yeah, I'm impressed. Couple of things before we get to Howie Klein. It's Thursday, so Howie joins us today. And we're going to have a guest on with us. Her name is Eva Putskova. And she ran for Congress from Arizona's 1st District. She didn't win, but she's energized and is come up with a new organization to catch fire. So we'll tell you what that's all about in a bit when Howie joins us. But I you know, there are allegedly, supposedly, Congress was going to come up with an agreement on a COVID relief bill. Now, they're calling it a stimulus bill. This is not stimulus. Make no mistake, that is a mischaracterization. It might be relief to help people who are hurting, but if they want to stimulate the economy, they'll have to come up with a whole lot more than $700 and some odd billion. Seriously, and great job of negotiating, by the way, Nancy Pelosi. They started at over $2 trillion, and now they're down to, you know, under $800 billion. And Bernie Sanders, thank God for Bernie Sanders. He has been fighting the good fight. He has been saying that we need individual payments to Americans. Here's a little bit. I think this is from yesterday. Bernie Sanders was on MSNBC and explained the need.
Has been demanding those indirect stimulus payments at $1,200. Senator, thank you very much for your patience. We had the Biden event and the announcement of Pete Buttigieg. But first of all, I know the agreement's not finalized. What are you hearing from the negotiations?
Not
so
enough.
Far, is it something that you would support as a down payment?
Look, everything that is in that package is vitally needed.
Yes, but there's not enough of it.
The problem is it is a much smaller amount than the country needs in this moment of economic desperation. As you know, a week ago, there was virtually no discussion about direct payment, about providing help to working families and their kids, which, to my mind, should be the major priority, because we're looking at a moment when so many of our families are struggling to feed their kids, worried about getting evicted, have no money to go to a doctor. We got to get money directly to working families. And I'm glad that, as I understand it right now, we're at some $600 per adult, working class adult, and $600 for the kids. So for a family of four, that would be $2,400, which I think will be pretty good news during this rather bleak Christmas period.
All right, so you get the better than nothing, right? But can we talk real world here? We were given $1,200 per adult, and I look from looking in the chat room each time I mention it, and I see a number of people who said they never got theirs. I'll say most of us got $1,200 back in March. Maybe it was April. In May, well, okay, let me just back up. It's been almost 10 months since Congress passed the CARES Act. That included the $1,200, right? And then it's now been 7 months since the House passed the HEROES Act, which would have given us even more and kept these programs that are all running out. I mean, they run out of money the day after Christmas. That's why it's so important that Congress get this package passed. And again, it's not a stimulus package. It's a relief package. Well, the House, led by the Democrats, passed the HEROES Act back in May. And the Senate has never even brought it up for a debate, much less vote on it. So that is Mitch McConnell. Thank you so much, Kentucky, for reelecting him. So a congressional leader said yesterday that they were close to a deal on this $900 billion package. It's now back down a little bit because they pulled out the most contentious provisions, that for local and state help. And believe me, local and state governments really need the help. States have to, constitutionally, they have to balance their budget every year. And so they're not able to do that right now. And they're all, I mean, states are going to be in real bad shape next year. And yet there's no money in this deal that allegedly they need to get done, you know, today for them. They pulled that out. And then the concession that the Democrats won is that they pulled out what the Republicans wanted, which was a liability waiver for businesses who are negligent in trying to protect employees and customers against the COVID virus. So, so all that, those two things were pulled out. And then this smaller individual payment was put in. So now they're talking about something like a one-time check of $600 per person as opposed to $1,200. Okay, and the reason that they have to get it done today is because they're trying to tie this to a spending bill, an omnibus bill, to keep the government open. Last week, they passed a week-long extension to get them to this week. And tomorrow they run out of money. So ostensibly, the government shuts down tomorrow if they don't get this deal done. Nothing like waiting for the last minute. So I don't. Apparently, they've gone back and forth today. I have no idea where they stand on this right now. But the $600 payment, I guess I should say, OK, thank you. I'll take what I can get. But frankly, do you know anyone whose rent will be paid by $600? Because I don't. And let's look at what some other countries are doing for their people. In Germany, the government is giving each individual 87% of their salary for the duration of the pandemic. In Canada, unemployed people are getting $2,000 a month. Japanese get $950 a month for the duration. In the UK, it's 85% of wages for the duration. In Sweden, it's 90% of wages for the duration. In South Korea, 70% or more of wages for the duration. Australia, $750 a month to low-income earners for the duration. Netherlands, 90% of wage costs to businesses for the duration, so the businesses can keep paying their employees. Even places like Singapore, $422 per adult for the duration. I don't know if that's a month or Singapore is just giving $422. But Malawi, $50 a month for the duration. Nigeria, $52 a month for the duration. Malaysia, $140 a month for the duration. And the United States of America, nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. We got $1,200 once. That was supposed to, and I heard somebody say, and that got us through the summer. Got who through the summer? Because I don't know anybody who was able to get through March, through the summer, on $1,200. Some of us are taking on odd jobs. Some of us are painting your pet portraits. Hello. Some people, many hundreds of thousands of people, are depending on food banks, and the food banks are running out of food and money to pay for more food while the lines go on for miles and miles and miles. It could be a song. There's something seriously wrong here. And what it is, you know, there's this whole myth about American exceptionalism and people, you know, America, we're the best. Really? In what sense? In how we take care of our people? No, we're not. The United States of America is the wealthiest nation on the planet. Let me say that again. Even taking into account all those oil-rich nations, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, all of those oil countries, we, the United States of America, have more money, more wealth than they do. Problem is, it's all concentrated in the hands of, you know, a couple of handfuls of people, if that many. They don't want to be taxed. So the Republicans, they don't want to tax them. They want to tax us. They want to take your Social Security. Because what? It gives you too cushy a life in your golden years. I'm sorry, it's wrong. And now Joe Biden's going to come into office. And if the Democrats do not win those two Senate seats in Georgia on January 5th, then Mitch McConnell retains control of the Senate. I promise you the next 4 years will be even more painful than this time we're going through right now. Georgia, it's all up to you. It's all up to Georgia. If John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock win their races, which they should. I mean, have you seen who they're running against? If they win their races, Democrats will have 50 Senate seats and Republicans will have 50 Senate seats. That makes the vice president, who is the Senate president, the tiebreaker. That means Democrats will take control. And I got to tell you, I'm thrilled that Joe Biden today announced that Deb Haaland, we talked about her last week, will be, he has named her to be Secretary of the Interior. Great pick, after a couple I wasn't thrilled with. But this puts us in a precarious situation because the margin of majority for the Democrats in the House is so slim. And remember, there are still some of those blue doggies in there who think more like Republicans than Democrats. To get a big stimulus package, which we need, done or something like that, it's going to be tight. And it's going to be months before special elections can be held to replace Deb Haaland. Marsha Fudge, who is vacating her seat in Ohio. Nina Turner's running for that. But that special election won't be held for months. And Cedric Richmond, for whatever reason, Biden is plucking him out of the House and putting him in a power position in the White House. It's not going to be easy sailing in the coming months. And if the Republicans control the Senate, well, to put it bluntly, we're fucked, and not in a good way. So Georgia, I implore you, get out and vote, please. Because it's the only way we're going to get anything done. And even then, it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be a cakewalk, because we do have some conservadems in the Senate and in the House. But it'll be easier, at least if the Democrats have a majority in the Senate, at least these bills will be brought up for a vote, because a little Chucky Schmucky will be the Senate majority leader, and he gets to determine what comes up for a vote. If it's Mitch McConnell, the grim reaper of the Senate, then we're just out of luck. You know what? You know who we need to hear talking about this, right? Yes, Howie Klein. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get Howie on the line, shall we? Shall we?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hello, Howie Klein. How are you doing today?
Generally, I'm doing...
Uh-oh. What? I heard, generally, I'm doing... And then nothing. Howie, you there? Okay, this is weird. He's still connected. Howie? All right, you guys heard that too, right? Generally, I'm doing... Howie, I'm going to give you a count of three, and then I'm going to have to call you back. Because we lost you. Now, knowing what's going on, you know, with this Windows update in my studio for this past week, it's probably my fault. But Howie, I'm going to hang up and call you back because I'm not hearing you. Okay, let's call Howie back. You know, it was too much to ask for this to go easily and smoothly, right? How?
I'll get back.
Oh, there you are. No. Oh, shoot. I see what happened. It was my fault. I had the wrong pot up. God, you can't take me anywhere. All right. One more time. Let's call him. Now it's ringing. operator error there. I'm blaming it on Windows and it was my fault. Go figure.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi. Sorry about that. That was my fault. Not yours.
I heard you the whole time.
I know you did, because I had the wrong pot up on my board. I'm juggling a million things here. That was purely operator error. So anyway, I heard, I said, how you doing, Howie? And you said, generally good. And that's the last thing I heard.
Yes. And then I was describing how when I went to pick up the phone, I knocked the cradle off the desk and it went down into Never Never Land somewhere with the phone. And I was under the desk trying to both talk to you and rescue the and successfully.
I see. And then, of course, then I screw up the audio. So you're just talking to the ether and I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs going, what happened? So anyway, we're here. Before we bring on our guest and introduce Eva, I need to ask you a couple of questions. Okay. So Joe Biden has been naming his picks for his cabinet. And I think he made a good choice today in Deb Haaland for interior. But that leaves us with a bit of a conundrum in that the margin of majority in the House now is so slim. It's like three or four. And there's a number of blue dogs and new Dems who are not exactly friends to a progressive agenda. Are we going to be okay?
Well, first, let me address the Deb Haaland situation.
Okay.
Like some of the other picks that he made, first of all, she's pretty good compared to the garbage candidates, the garbage that he's been taking out of Congress. But the other thing is that the governor of New Mexico is a Democrat,
right,
who will set the she'll set the parameters of the special election. Like she's already said, there's not going to be a primary. She said each party central committee can just pick somebody
and she's going to do it. You know, she'll do it real fast as legally possible.
Good.
So that's a good thing. But in general, it is a problem that Biden is doing this, which he said he wouldn't do. But he has picked, you know, and some of the people are useless that he's
Cedric
chosen,
Richmond?
Like Richmond isn't going to do anything for anybody. He just made a career step. And of course, that district is a gerrymandered monstrosity that literally goes from black neighborhood to black neighborhood and winds its way through the state to get as many African Americans as it can, both in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge. So it's just a really weird district, gerrymandered by the Republicans to pack Democrats into one district and not have Democrats voting in other districts so that Republicans can control the other districts. In any case, there's no doubt that Richmond is going to be replaced by a Democrat. But, you know, why did Biden need him? Because, you know, he was supposed to be the guy who was going to deliver the black vote to Biden and was helped.
Cedric Richmond?
And the guy's a new Dem. He's a corporate whore, especially when it comes to oil, but in general. And, you know, he fits well in with what Biden is trying to accomplish, which isn't very good.
Okay. I hear you. And I thought I imagined, I heard your voice when Biden announced that he was picking Mayo Pete Buttigieg for transportation secretary. Why?
Well, good question. I mean, why? Because there's two answers to this that work together. So first of all, Obama talked Mayo Pete when Bernie still looked like he could win the primary. Obama talked a couple of candidates, Mayo Pete being the primary one, to drop out at the same time.
Right before Super Tuesday, in fact. Yes.
So that was a well-coordinated thing.
Yes, it was.
Mayo Pete was key to that, and so Biden is paying him back. The other thing that Biden keeps saying is about what a diverse administration he has. And he does. He has a very diverse administration.
And Pete is gay.
The little piece of the puzzle that Pete is the gay person.
That's
right. He's the gay.
Yes, he is.
The thing is that I think most people would rather see the most competent person getting these jobs rather than, let's give this one to a Latina, and let's give this one to an African-American, and let's give this one to some guy with red hair, and let's give this one to a homosexual. I mean, I'm all in favor of, you know, having diversity, but, like, how about, like, just picking the best people?
What a concept.
Mayo Pete is not the best people.
No.
Certainly not for that kind of job, which he's unprepared for. I think he said that at one time he used to, like, ride public transportation or something like that, and that qualifies for the job.
Right.
I mean, he was a failed mayor of a tiny
town. You know, there was a guy named Wayne Messam. I don't know if anybody remembers who was running for president in 2020. He was in the primaries. He never made it to a debate or anything. He was the mayor of Miramar, Florida, just a couple of towns down the road. Miramar, Florida is bigger than South Bend, Indiana. Why Mayo Pete gained traction and Messam didn't, I don't know. But
that's a very, very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an actual real answer to that.
Really?
And the answer isn't about Messam.
No.
The answer is about the single best publicist in all of the political world. And Mayo Pete has had her working for him. I don't know when they started, but forever.
Is that Liz Smith?
She is the one who, like, took this guy from nowhere into being a contender to be the chairman of the DNC, for example, if you remember that years and years ago. It didn't happen, but she made it almost happen. She was the one who made the difference between Mayo Pete not being Wayne Messam and instead being on the debate stage and getting all that press coverage. I wish I could remember her name.
Is it Liz
she
Smith?
Is literally
Liz
the
Smith.
Single best political publicist.
Right. Howie, is it Liz Smith?
Yes, it's Liz Smith.
That's what I thought.
L-I-S.
who was. Here's a little bit of.
I don't agree with her politics necessarily, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about her ability as a publicist. No one is better. I was a publicist myself at one time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had a publicity department at Reprise Records with, I don't know, a dozen top.
Yes, you did.
On the Coast and on the West Coast.
Mm.
I know what a good publicist is. I know how you do it. I know how terrible most of the political publicists are. They're horrible. And she isn't just better than them, period. She's the best. She's incredible. No one, I've never met her, but I've never run across a publicist as good as Liz Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she is a political operative. And by the way, a total aside, she, after he, you know, was his story about his high-priced hooker came to light and he was kicked out of being governor of New York, she and Elliot Spitzer were together for a long time. That was her, you know, they were a thing. I guess they're not anymore, but she is a political operative and apparently very good at her job.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. She's a political operative, but her specialty is people in the press.
Gotcha.
That's what she does.
Yep.
She is just amazing.
Okay. So, yeah, so here we are. Any other picks you're happy? I was happy to see Gina McCarthy named as, I think it's a new position, a domestic climate czar. But I really liked Gina McCarthy as EPA administrator. I've never met her. I don't know a whole lot about her, but every time I've ever heard her interviewed, she's been fucking awesome. She's a straight shooter. She talks like a real person. I love her. So I'm glad she's there. Yeah, that's that. Anybody you're happy about?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, we should bring in Eva, right? Eva Putsova ran for Congress from Arizona's 1st Congressional District. She was a Blue America endorsee. We spoke a while back, I believe. Anyway, Eva, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Let's make sure we can hear you because I always have to, you know, keep my fingers crossed. So say hello.
Thank you, Nicole, for having me.
Yay, it works. You're from Slovenia, aren't you?
Actually, Slovakia.
I always get them mixed up. I'm so embarrassed. So Slovakia, the same place that Melania Trump comes from? Or she's from Slovenia?
No. We don't claim her. It's Slovenia.
All right. Never mind me. Don't pay attention to me. Tell us, you and Howie are working together, or you work together, Chef, with the Blue America PAC as you're running. And now you've formed a new organization. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and just to follow up on what you were saying, while we can't claim Melania, we do claim Ivana Trump.
Oh, Ivana
course.
Trump.
Yes, but back to the reality. I was a candidate in Arizona's 1st District running against an ex-Republican turned Blue Dog Democrat, Tom O'Halloran. Of course, the CCC and the entire Democratic Party establishment with many, many organizations that are connected to the Democratic Party establishment opposed our candidacy. Despite all of that, we got 42.4% in the primary. And because of all that experience running for Congress, after the primary, I talked to many progressive candidates. I talked to other people, including Howie, and something big is missing in progressive circles. A lot of progressive organizations wait on the sideline for progressive leaders to become superstars,
mm-hmm.
and then they get behind them. And so I launched with the help of wonderful 14 other advisory council members. Howie is among them, a great organization called Catch Fire. And you can check us out at catchfiremovement.org. So we talk how we want working women and people of color at the helm of organizations, but leadership is still tightly connected to privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than expecting people from marginalized backgrounds to overcome extraordinary obstacles and arise on their own, we want to make it practically possible for them to lead. We want to take chances on them early on, before they are superstars. So imagine a progressive teacher having the support system to step away from her job and invest herself in leading, let's say, a citizen initiative to raise the local minimum wage, or an immigrant paralegal running for a congressional seat. Leadership has many forms, and we need institutions to take risks in investing in and building the progressive leadership pipeline. So Catch Fire was created to support progressive policies by enabling working folks from marginalized backgrounds to pursue civic engagement. And that, of course, includes also running for public office.
Wow. Howie, I'm going to bring you in just a second, but I'm going to try something. Hopefully I can do this if my technology cooperates. It worked before. You have a little introductory video, and let me see if... I am able to do it. All right, let me play this so maybe people can get an idea. It runs like 2 minutes. So here is Catch Fire.
What is Catch Fire? Well, it all starts with an idea that every human deserves a thriving life on a healthy planet in a fair and just democracy. But progress can be a slow, difficult fight. The time, effort, and money it takes to lead movements for progressive change is often out of reach for regular working people. When someone decides to take the leap of faith, they're usually jumping into the deep end alone. As a result, policies that directly affect us aren't made by us. They're shaped by corporations and political elites who work to protect their own interests and keep progressive working people away from power. We deserve a level playing field. That's why we're laying the groundwork, brick by brick, to make sure progressives catch fire early and have the best chance to succeed. Our plan has three parts. One, provide vital training, resources, and support at the very beginning, when we can have the most impact. Two, educate people about progressive policies and the challenge progressive working people face when they pursue political power. Three, build a resilient community that shares, collaborates, and advocates for a progressive future. Now is the time for us to demand a more progressive, just future for all.
Wow. That sounds great. So, Eva Putsova is back with us. Howie Klein, you still there?
Of course.
So tell us how you and Eva hooked up. How did you meet? How did you get her? Did you recruit her to be a candidate? What's the story there?
She was already running. She already had a wonderful record of civic engagement as a member of the City Council of Flagstaff, which is the biggest city in her district.
Mm-hmm.
And she had successfully run two campaigns about minimum wage. One of them to pass a minimum wage law in Flagstaff, but the other one was to fight off a challenge by the Koch brothers a year or two later, and she was successful with that one as well.
Wow.
So I was, in other words, we're dealing with somebody who we had a record already that was really incredible. And then she decided to take on one of the real villains of Congress, this guy Tom Halloran. Mm. Now, Tom Halloran, when you say he was used to be a Republican, that doesn't really tell the story. He was a Republican legislator. He was in the state legislature with a terrible record. He is a Republican. He's worse than a blue dog Democrat. He's a Republican. Well, then he had some arguments with other Republicans and decided to be an independent. And then the DCCC thought, oh, here's our opportunity to win this seat. And then they recruited him and he switched his party from independent
Wow.
to Democrat. And he votes with the Republicans. He votes with the Republicans more than almost any of the Democrats. There are some worse. Some of them were even defeated this time, like Colin Peterson.
Right.
But he immediately joined the Blue Dogs. And then when I heard that Eva was going to run against him, I looked up her contact information and called her, and that's how we met and started talking together. I think that one of the most important things about Catch Fire hasn't really been discussed yet, and I want to throw it back to Eva so she can talk about it. And that's the idea of working with working class candidates at the early in their career, and helping them in terms of having the financial resources to still pay their rent, for example, and mm-hmm. and put food on their tables while they're running. That's something that that has kept working class people from running for Congress. Is that right, Eva? Am I describing that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason why we don't see enough working people running for offices, because they cannot afford to run. And in some cases, for, you know, some legislative offices, they cannot even afford to win. So what Catch Fire is planning to do is to issue personal grants. So working class people can put their life on hold, or their professional working careers on hold, and dedicate themselves completely and 100% in building out their progressive campaigns, and perhaps, you know, other not necessarily just campaigns and organizations. And that is missing. We just kind of expect people magically do all of it, and that's impossible. And so we're in this initial phase. We just launched the organization. We are seeking partners. And so if you're listening to us and you want to help us succeed as an organization that actually practically and financially supports working class people, that I want to hear from you. And you can contact me at, and the email is super easy. It's my first name, EVA, at catchfiremovement.org. Super easy. Also, the website is catchfiremovement.org. But that's a big piece of our programming, is to make it actually financially feasible for people to step up their leadership. And we ignore this. You know, there's plenty of organizations that want to support other organizations run by women and people of color. But how do these people become leaders? We kind of don't really have a strategy, and we want to be effective. We need our progressive movement to be bigger, and we need to think through how a pipeline of progressive leaders is built.
Great. And I'm looking at the website, catchfiremovement.org, and your advisory board, Howie, is part of it. And so is Randy Bryce, who we got to know it wasn't just 2 years ago, Howie, when Randy Bryce ran, was it? Or this has just been a long 2 years. He ran in Wisconsin. He's Iron Stash. So he's part of this.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It was 2016.
That's what I thought. It was 4 years ago. Okay. I was going to say I'm not crazy, but I am. But that's besides the point. And Adam Christensen, who we also got to know through Howie this year. He should have won, but Florida is Florida. So I'm glad that Adam is part of this. So you've got some young, progressive, energetic, wonderful candidates joining together in this. So what projects are you going to take on? Like, what is the first thing you're going to do?
So, Nicole, in addition to Adam, I'm glad you mentioned him, because when you think about, he was the youngest Democratic Party candidate in the country, mm-hmm. and he won his primary, and he received 43% of votes in the general election. Wow. And yet, not a single large progressive organization backed him up. Of course, Blue America did, which right. You know, how is great that way.
Yes.
And so, but we have the board also has other people. You know, we do really believe that, you know, after the progressive policies, identity matters. And so we have two indigenous people on the board. We have three people who are part of the LGBTQ community. We have two Black women. We have an Asian person. We have, eight women. And so the board is providing kind of the strategic directions for the organization. But our big hope is that we're going to secure our initial funding. And then we're going to launch our personal grants program. And we're going to support working progressive leaders by connecting them to professional coaching. Living in a progressive space is extremely taxing. And we really think that we have to think about leadership in progressive circles holistically. And providing that coaching is, in my opinion, super important. And from the beginning, not when the person already proves themselves to be extraordinary. We really have to make this possible for the ordinary people. And then that's kind of our leadership track. We call it Blaze the Fire. But then we have Blaze the Trail. I'm sorry, I'm confusing my own programs. Blaze the Trail program, that's the leadership track. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ignite the Fire track. And we want to organize progressive activists who want to be really connected to the movement and step up their professional skills to take on strategic functions, whether it's building campaigns or building organizations. You know, sometimes it's much easier to find people who are going to knock on the doors and make the phone calls. But it is super difficult to find people who have the experience and expertise to be the strategists and the managers for progressive organizations and campaigns. And that's especially important when you are in more rural areas. Mm-hmm. Or during cycles like we've just seen, you know, when there's, you know, it's very intense presidential cycle and the professionals are just, there are not as many in, and of course you have then DCCC fighting you every way.
Of course.
And blacklisting consultants.
Right. So is the goal here to get people who participate in position where there's enough name recognition and they're known to the progressive community so that they can, when they launch in their next campaign, hopefully for 2022, they're better positioned to win?
Absolutely. So we want to really invest in these in a people's ability to be connected to other organizations. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I mean, another simple thing. If you decide, let's say you want to run for Congress or you want to build an organization, there isn't a single place you can go and find out what are the progressive organizations in this country and how to reach them. Like you have to be already super connected and networked. Mm-hmm. And we want to make this process much easier. We also plan to publish a number of resources that will be available to everybody about how to run for offices, about how to deal with practical decisions when you're building a campaign, what email program to use and how exactly to set it up.
So nice.
Your organization's emails are actually deliverable.
Right. And the thing is, the DCCC is not helping progressive candidates with any of this stuff. So it's great
the opposite of helping. They're
right.
Hindering it every step of the way. They make it more difficult to run and make demands on candidates that are counterproductive when it comes to winning a race. And the fact that Eva is putting this together after the experience that she just had and how well she was able to do and is a real value to future candidates. And that's why I got excited about being part of this.
That's great. It's a good time to let people know because you need to start, right? I mean, you need to start building those relationships and getting them in place. And it sounds like you've got a great foundation here. I love it. Catchfiremovement.org. So, and you're looking for people, whether they want to run or volunteer or get involved to help build the movement. Yes.
Absolutely. And we are definitely looking at people who want to underwrite all our programs or parts of the programming portfolio. We cannot just expect things magically happen on their own because of our sweat equity and our passion. It takes money to build
organizations. Everything takes money, yeah.
And it takes money to actually support progressive leaders. So I do encourage everybody who has the capacity and who has the interest and maybe want to be invested in something that's meaningful. You know, this is not going to be about catch fire. What we want to be doing is to actually uplifting these progressive leaders.
Love
so
it.
Their journey to the true leadership is much shorter.
Got it. Sounds great. Howie, thanks for bringing this to our attention. I think this is wonderful. And this is what we need, because what I've learned over the past couple of months, in addition to, you know, history, is the Democratic Party is the most disorganized, dysfunctional organization. I can't even call them that. And so they need help, and they're not going to help us. So if progressives band together, this could be a very, very good thing. Eva Putzova and Howie Klein, thank you both. Again, that website is catchfiremovement.org, and you can always find Howie at downwithtyranny.com. We're out of time, guys. So thank you so much. Howie, I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. And Eva, thanks for coming on.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.